A cycle from Lanesia to Durban. How does that sound? To tell us more about that, we're joined on the line by Mohammed Takolia from Team Captain Cycle Club Lanesia. Mohammed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakum Allah khair for joining us. Where did the idea come to ride bicycles all the way from Lanesia to Durban? Are you guys riding for a cause?
Yes, we are indeed. It's for the Lanesia Cancer Association. The idea started off with an invitation which I received from an NH member, Ahmed Banu. Approached our members and the response was overwhelming. The club chairman, Musa Patel, and we have Hamad Abrams, who are our members, immediately supporting this tour. After a meeting with our members, we got 17 gladiators all set and ready to take up this tour, which covered a distance of 686 kilometers.
Wow, that's a whopping distance. How many members are part of the cycle club in Lanesia in total?
We have approximately 60 members officially, but all of them haven't undertaken this epic tour. We've got basically 17 riders and three support crew drivers, Rida, we have Dipesh and Bobby. So three different vehicles, support vehicles, and our major sponsor, club sponsor, Ocular Technologies, Pommy himself, he's with us on this tour and also taking part in the challenge.
And where are you guys currently?
We are right now in Midland, Settle and Tout. I don't know if you know that place. It's just off Mooi River. After a grueling days of cycling today, which started off in, where were we? Drakensberg in Little Switzerland. And from there, we traveled in the morning under misty and rainy conditions, heavy terrain. It was difficult, challenging, but cold, extremely cold. We had to bear all that and reached a spot, and it was in good time, so we decided that we'll take up the next leg of that journey, which was climb up Clifford's Hill, which is a grueling climb, and it was really challenging. But alhamdulillah, we all finished it, and we got into Mooi River and made it for Jummah at Mooi River.
Alhamdulillah. Now, which route are you guys taking? Are you on the main road or is there the old
No,
road?
It's all, you know, the not the national route. It's all the routes off alternate routes from Raits we started. On the first day, we had a little challenge. Because it's our first attempt at this this nature of a tour, we found it a bit difficult on the first day. We off route, and even though we had that problem, we covered the distance, about 180 kilometers, and everybody took it in their stride, and we enjoyed it. We had to hop onto our cars after the 180 k's and then get to Bethlehem, which was our first night, where we stayed over at Bok Makiri and Pheasant accommodation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, the climbs, you know, you made reference to that people generally know the Van Riemen's Pass, that's on the main route, but obviously that you wouldn't be passing through that, but there may be many other mountains.
But there are, I can tell you, today's one, Griffiths, is 4 kilometers of, I think, 2,100 meters of climbing. It was, and then we went through Golden Gate on yesterday. I don't know if you know that.
Yes.
Area. Yeah, we climbed all that. It was also about 2,020 meters of climbing yesterday. And then, you know, we passed Stapfontein Dam. And then we stopped at Little Switzerland, which was our first, second stop overnight.
As you indicate, this is the first time you're attempting something like this, but how long preparation is needed to be able to be ready for such a challenging
ride? Well, look, I can tell you, we have riders from, you know, the top to the bottom, those who haven't been at it all the time, but I can tell you everybody's coped well and we're managing perfectly. All the riders are doing superbly on this tour, and you know, it's very impressive to see. We have doctors in our team, and we have oldish people too. Everybody seems to be doing very well. There was no challenges, alhamdulillah, no injuries, nothing. On the outset, I must mention Musa Patel is our club chairman. He is unfortunately not available to join us due to injury. He had to withdraw. So, yeah, he's a bit disappointed. But anyway, we carry on with it. And alhamdulillah, we're going to end on Sunday with a race from Pietermaritzburg to Durban, which will be the Amashova. That's 106 kilometers. I think it's a cycling equivalent of the Comrades Marathon.
Absolutely sounds really fascinating. The entire trip, it has been a monumental one, as you've been outlining. And we wish you the best for the remaining part of the race.
JazakAllah, and we really sincerely appreciate your du'as and your support.
Ameen, ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy and take you all with afiat to your end destination, inshallah.
Shukran, Allah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And it's been a pleasure to be on the station.
Absolutely.
We can get more lens people involved in the sport. It's really, it's achievable. People have started from on a bicycle 5 kilometers a day, and to take it to this level now is really something. It is achievable.
No doubt it is. What about the aspect of risk involved, you know, with the motorists being so indifferent to cyclists?
There is, but because we have the support vehicles, three of them, it does help a great deal. And we had our sponsors, Freeway Toyota, who borrowed us a vehicle, and Popular Technologies with their support vehicle. These vehicles really help.
May Allah Ta'ala make it easy.
And the drivers, their patience, really.
Yes.
I mean, to be driving behind the cyclists at that speed, 30, 20, 40, maximum 40 kilometers. On the downs, okay, it's faster. But really, it is, it's taxing for them. And we really appreciate their, efforts.
Yes, I suppose there are many people who will contribute to make these things a reality.
Inshallah.
Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, so that was Mohammed Takolia from the Cycle Club in Asia. He's the captain of the club, speaking to us about the challenge. We're going to be talking more about this when we come back from the break. Before the break, we spoke to Mohammed Takolia from the Cycle Club in Asia. Now we move on. We speak to Suhail Ghani, team captain, male and guardian team. Suhail, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam.
Suhail, where are you guys currently?
We're currently in northern Drakensberg, Little Switzerland.
And how many team members ride with you?
We've got 43 riders, and the full party is 48 with our support crew.
Are you guys trying to catch the lens, guys? Are you guys going to be riding through the night?
No. We start on the Thursday, so we can never catch up. We start on the day before, but we'll meet in Maritzburg tomorrow. Yeah.
Yes, now, what's the plans on arrival in Durban? How long rest and... what's the plans from Maritzburg onwards?
No, so we ride from Little Switzerland, which is Drakensberg, to Maritzburg tomorrow.
Yes.
We then rest and we do the Amashova race on Sunday, so that's how we get to Durban.
So how many people will be participating in that race?
In that, I think the race is about, it was last year just under 10,000, probably a similar number at the moment.
Now, on a race, on a ride like what you guys are currently on, what sort of a diet do you follow in terms of what do you consume and how do you keep yourself strong and rehydrated?
So there's no real diet per se. I mean, guys tend to eat their own nutrition, but also we provide for the guys just your normal sort of carbohydrates and protein to go along the way. It's simple snacks, actually, during the ride. It's your bread sandwiches, your Simba chips type of snacks, some chocolate, and you're having your carbohydrate water, like an energy type of drink, whatever the guys are used to riding with on their normal rides. But then in the night, you have a good supper and obviously a good breakfast to start the day.
And while the guy's actually riding, do they snack at that point also?
Yes, very much so. So guys have to eat on the bike because it's a long day out there. So the first stop, as an example, today comes at 60 Ks, which is not too bad. So then you quickly refuel, refresh, fill your bottles again. But it's also weather dependent. Eh? So in the morning it was coolish today. So the guys didn't consume too much liquid, but then in the afternoon it got hot. So then you're stopping at the next one at about 45 Ks, just getting cold water and drinks out of the support vehicle and topping up and going.
And has there been any interactions of people along the road? People, you know, have they been noticing you? How has it been on the road? Any challenges?
No, look, the challenging thing for us is that we've got a very big peloton. So we split it up into three distinct groups, an A, B, and C, varying strengths for the different riders. Not really much interaction, but there's a lot of other groups on the road as well. So we're not the only club doing this. You mentioned earlier Cycle Club Lanesha also doing it. And there's a lot of other groups that you just see on the road. So today we passed the guys they're riding for cancer. Some people are riding for other charities. So there's a lot of people who are doing this 4 or 5 day sort of tour, and then it finishes with the Amashoba on Sunday.
All the best for your ride to Pietermaritzburg and for the race also.
Thanks very much.
Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir, that was Sohail Ghani from the Mail and Guardian team, speaking to us about his team members, giving us insight on their riding patterns. You are listening to Your World Today. We continue touching base with various cycling clubs that are doing the ride down to Durban and getting ready for the race on Sunday. That will be taking place on Pietermaritzburg. Now, we're joined on the line by Imran Abbas, team captain from the Esmero Cycling Club. Imran, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In terms of your getting down to Pietermaritzburg, how has it been for you guys? Where are you guys now, and how had the road been while you were still on the road?
Alhamdulillah, we had four seasons in the four different days, so it wasn't too bad. We had some wind on the first day, but alhamdulillah, we had a lot of rain, which is not very good for cycling, but I think we needed it, so we've accepted it, and we just took it a bit easier, especially today. The whole day it was raining.
For what purpose and you know, for what cause were you guys cycling?
We normally doing it a lot for charity, and mainly we do a collection for Baby Moses. So if we do have funds left over, the members pay everything themselves. And then if we do have funds left over, we do donate it every year to the Baby Moses Foundation in the West Rand in Johannesburg.
And how many team riders do you have with you?
This year is the first time we've opened it out, not just to Esmero Club members, but we opened it up to a few friends and colleagues and some of the coaches, etc. So this year, alhamdulillah, we ended up with about 31 riders in total. So it's quite a big group.
Alhamdulillah. In terms of the riders, different on you know, various riders on different levels, different capacities, how do you manage that, trying to keep everyone together and not letting the stronger ones break away? And
sure, with great difficulty, I must say. Now, we do have four support kumis or four support vehicles, and we do split it. I think at the end of the day, safety is the most important thing for obviously not just the cyclists but also other road users. But we try to keep the bunches together, and if someone is really tired and they're alone, we end up putting them into the kumi just to recover, recoup, etc. But we do have some marshals that obviously manage the entire road and the safety, etc. We do have a doctor with us, three masseurists as well, and obviously the mechanic as well.
What's the secret to staying focused in this challenging ride?
I think it's a lot of training that goes into it, but I think when you reach, I mean, we're in Pietermaritzburg today, alhamdulillah, we made Juma in Pietermaritzburg, we made it before 12 o'clock, so we keep Friday's ride very short, only 90 Ks, but I think the main thing is when it's that amazing feeling when you reach Moses Mabhida on the race day, you can one day tell your grandkids that you've rode down from Johannesburg to Durban. So it's just that motivation and that mind factor that gets the guys going.
Yes, really an epic event, undoubtedly. It really takes a lot from a person. How much training does one have to put in beforehand?
You know, there's some of us that actually train for the entire year, and we'll start preparing now for the DC and then for next year's tour. But you do get a few guys that take the challenge on only 2 months before, and they get through it. I mean, alhamdulillah, they train and they go on a structured program. Yeah, they won't do it fast, but they carry on, they finish it. So it depends on what's your personal achievement, whether you want to go for time or whether you want to ride just to finish. So we have, and fortunately we have the mixtures in our club. So we do have guys that really ride elite and vets, and we do have the beginners that still come and they finish the tour as well.
Thank you, Jazakumullah Khair, for sharing the experience with us on the airways of Radio Islam.
Alhamdulillah, no problem. Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
So with us, Imran Abbas, team captain from the Esmero Cycling Club. A number of different clubs joining us on the program this afternoon.
Recently, Ismail discovered his reason for switching to FNB Islamic Banking.
FNB Islamic Banking, how can I help you?
Hi.
See, I told you.
My wife banks with you guys, and I didn't believe I could call you at 9 p.m. and that you'd answer.
That's right, sir. Our premier clients have access to a team of bankers 24/7.
Hear that, Smiley?
I hear you. So if I was an FNB premier client, I could query an unauthorized debit on my account right now?
That's correct, sir.
Could I ask about a monthly profit share on my savings pocket?
Yes, sir.
Switch, Smiley. It just makes sense.
Oh, okay. So could I close my account at my current bank now?
Sorry, Smiley. You'll have to wait till the morning to do that.
To switch to FNB Islamic Banking and a team of 24-hour premier bankers, SMS FNB to 45156 and get switched and smiling. FNB, how can we help you? First National Bank is a division of First Rand Bank Limited, an authorized FSP and credit provider. TC's rules and standard network rates apply.
The world sure has changed. Everything nowadays seems to be new and improved. Products are updated before they're old enough to be old. Then you get the classics that keep getting it right time after time. Because nothing beats an original. Like Sunshine D Margarine and Spreads. High in vitamin D, Sunshine D has been trusted by generations of families in South Africa to deliver that smooth, great taste to celebrate those special occasions, big and small. Now who would want to change that?
Anytime is Shalela time with Sunshine D.
Khidmatul Awam Pilgrim Services, your preferred Hajj and Umrah service provider, offers you affordable Hajj and Umrah packages. Khidmatul Awam Pilgrim Services now offers you leisure travel visit, incredible India, amazing Thailand, mystical Turkey and Europe. Discounted rates to India, Pakistan and Bangladesh. Look out for our December packages. For our leisure travel packages, call 011-852-8551. For Hajj and Umrah, contact our Durban office on 031-207-4410, Cape Town office 021-633-8113, and our Joburg office on 011-852-8551. Khidmatul Awam, your preferred Hajj, Umrah and leisure service provider.
جفاني البدر في الظلم فبت الليل لم أنمي ورحت أجول بالذكرى وأذرف دمعة الألم
جفاني البدر في الظلم فبت الليل لم أنمي
إذا ما أردت تميز
You're listening to Your World Today.
You're listening to Your World Today on Radio Islam International. We're joined on the line by Kishore Badal, who's the ward counselor for Ward 9. Kishore, good afternoon to you. Now come to the program.
Good afternoon to you, and thank you.
Once again, welcome on the airways of Radio Islam. We have spoken to you in the past, and it's good to have you once again with us. Now, Kishore, perhaps you can take us through what has transpired in you taking up your position from the date that you were, you know, from the elections, what had transpired and the votes being counted, and you receiving the vote of confidence from those that are in Ward 9. And after the tallying of the votes, what was the sequence of events as that unfolded?
Okay, that was on a Wednesday. It took the next few days for IEC to finalize and to make official the outcome, although, of course, we knew that night. And it was probably a week later, or more, in fact, a couple of weeks later when we got sworn in. After having been sworn in, maybe that was the 22nd, I think, and a week later we went into orientation, and only thereafter, the beginning of September, we assumed offices. And my office is at the service center in Indonesia. I've been dealing within this time with lots and lots of on-the-ground queries in terms of outage, in terms of lights not working, in terms of potholes, in terms of other building issues and dumping and things like that. I've also had four major public meetings at four different venues within the ward, where I got a chance to talk to something like 250-odd people, where people could express themselves and they could meet me and they could see what I am about and what it is that that I'm planning on doing and what I'm thinking. And, you know, for me, the most important thing was for people to know that that I'm there. I'm just not a face in the newspaper or on a placard, that I'm easily accessible, whether it's to the phone, email, WhatsApp groups in the office itself. And we are not available because of the various other activities at the time that that I would respond in the shortest time possible. Those are the purposes of it, but also to be able to listen to people on what it is that was really plaguing them. So in all those different extensions, we were able to extract the most important issues that were affecting them.
Yes, now perhaps you can just, you know, remind listeners, because of the way the wards or the areas have been broken down is confusing at times. So what are the extensions of Lanesia that you really do serve?
One, but only in part, from Rose Avenue up to Robin, to where the stadium is, going down from the Civic Center all the way to Flamingo. And then extension two, all of it. Extension three, all of it. Extension 5, a part of it, and that part is really the part as you pass Progress on the left-hand side, and the area around Harmony School. That's extension 5, extension 7, all of it, extension 8, all of it, extension 13, all of it, including Nana's Farm.
Yes, so those are the extensions that you would be serving. Now, you spoke about the fact that, you know, in your public meetings, you've been telling people about what you're all about and what are some of your plans. Perhaps you could share those plans. What are the vision, what are the plans for these extensions?
Okay, the first thing, I think, and the thing that hurts most people is the service delivery. People are not aware, and there hasn't been enough communication in terms of everything having a standard level agreement. There's an SLA in place for everything, like street lights has a turnaround time of 14 to 21 days. Copper or power could be anything between 4 and 8, unless the transformer is burnt out or something else, then it may change that. So that is the first thing. So people understand that they themselves can do and should be doing the reporting. Because residents are actually the eyes and the ears of local government, not the councillor. The councillor is in essence a facilitator. They're supposed to facilitate delivery to the advantage of residents. Where residents are not receiving the service delivery that they are paying for, that they should be getting rightfully, and that is where we need to be stepping in. So when there are faults of all that type of nature, they're expected to report it. They're expected to receive a reference number and find out what the turnaround time is, when it will be repaired. And when it isn't repaired within the time, they've got a choice, either going back into the call center and inquiring what's going on, or getting a counselor involved, in this case myself. So that is the one issue, and when that happens, we are able to deal with it directly on an escalated basis. However, in some cases, things are such of an urgency level that we have to step in sooner. That is the one issue. The other thing is, over the years, we have seen the nation deteriorate in many ways. Deteriorate in the sense that there's lots of trouble all over the show. And whether it's because Picket Up hasn't done their job, or whether it's the people jumping and will not listen, because many of the areas, we have it cleaned up today, tomorrow, and in a couple of days it'll go back to what it was originally. And so that's on the Picket Up side. Our parks have been messed up really, really badly. Our parks are being used for other purposes that it was never, ever intended to. So that's the other thing we need to change around. The beggars at the robot.
What's the plan for the beggars at the robots?
Well, originally, the idea was, you know, they arrest them, and then when they arrest them, then they can't do anything really with them. Because who did they charge? Where did they get bail from? Those people can't afford a fine, whatever it is. But now what we are saying is, it doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you are chasing them away or whatever it is, or you're giving them a 10, 20 rand fine so that they're afraid of something, but the idea is that the beggars have to disappear. Because the beggars is going to start a culture that's going to hurt us worse. And although we had isolated incidents of people being attacked or people being interfered with by the beggars, those are things that can grow in an ugly way. And then this week you would have heard that, I think it was on Tuesday, there was a bylaw enforcement where JMPD and a number of the other departments came together to go and look at the illegal traders. And so that's the other aspect. My vision is that it's not difficult to get Lanesha working the way we want to. If we can get it, and we can get people to do their part, if everybody within every extension and every street use the resources available in terms of website, in terms of telephone call centers, or myself, whichever it is, and if we use it and we use it correctly, we can start changing what we look like. That's the one aspect. The other aspect is the client situation. I've met on a couple of occasions already with SAPS and with the CPF. And we've been discussing what they're looking at. I have a better understanding now of what their challenges are, what their shortcomings are. And on the same token, on Monday the 24th, we're having a public meeting around safety, around crime, at the Lanesha Civic Center at 7 o'clock, where the MMC for public safety will be present, and a number of police officials and other people that contribute towards the fight against crime. So that's the other
yes.
thing that I've been busy with. And then I've been talking to a number of organizations, sporting organizations, educational organizations, religious organizations, in terms of the issues that they have, in terms of what it is that they require to make things happen, to make things change, so that they could get better delivery. We've looked at many of the sporting grounds to see why is it that maintenance is not taking place where it should be, why our roads haven't been resurfaced as often as it should have been. There is a plan, and maybe it's a nice time to talk about it also, that in the month of November, Flamingo Avenue, between Rose Avenue and Nirvana Drive, where the old BP garage is, will be resurfaced. And there will be a CLO employed to watch over the local process. And we're having a public meeting on Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Civic Center. So many people will ask why a public meeting in the morning. But that particular type of meeting is directed at unemployed people, so that somebody can get a job, even if it's for a month. So that is why that is in the morning. So that day is also taking place. But that's the only resurfacing, that's the only work that's coming up at this stage. But whatever it is and however it is, we will publicize it in whatever way it is possible to do so.
We look forward to you keeping us updated on developments, and there's a number of things that you've outlined, and in the future we will also, you know, give listeners opportunity to put forth some of their issues to yourself. If I understand correctly, so, you know, when it came to the issue with regards to service delivery issues, what you were saying is that residents are to first raise the issue with the respective departments, and after not getting joy, then they come to you.
You know, all of it is not correct. They should raise it to the call center, the service delivery call center, which is the 011-375-5000. 011-375-5555. That number.
Okay.
Right? Can I repeat it? 011-375-5555. That is the number that they log it in. Whether it's water, whether it's pick it up, whether it's electricity, whatever, they log it on there. And only when the SLA period has passed and it hasn't been attended to, that is the time that it gets referred to me. But I know that there are people that cannot make that phone call, that for whatever reason, whether it's age or whether it's whatever it is. And those people will contact me and I'll make the call.
Okay.
It's not, but the process is, the process that's followed across the city and in other municipalities is the residents report. The residents own the service. The residents are in a position to demand the service because they pay for it. But when they're not receiving the service, and then they need a counselor, they need somebody to assist them, and that's when I come into the picture.
Okay, so but
also I must tell you that, you know, that I'm grateful to Radio Islam, because I think since election, this is probably the fourth time that I've been on air with yourselves, and you know, and I think almost all those times have been initiated by yourself to make sure that that I'm keeping the community informed, and I'm really grateful to that.
No, I know we also appreciate the fact that you've availed yourself. You know, sometimes there's difficulty in the schedule, but you've always availed yourself, and we hope that we can continue building on that. And the ultimate aim is to serve the community and that people can get the services that they deserve.
True, and a small example is last week, Monday, I was on your airwaves in studio, and when I walked out, somebody asked me to attend to the streetlights in front of your building. The streetlight, when I came past there, I was at a meeting across the road last week, Wednesday, and it was working.
Ah, thank you very much. That's really fantastic.
You know, so although you are not in my ward, it doesn't mean that I cannot work with you. You know, and unfortunately, Lanesians don't look at demarcation. Lanesians are not interested in which party you represent or what you do. When they require service delivery, they need the service delivery.
Yes, that is, you know, the expectation. It's now to live up to that expectation and fulfill it to the best of your ability.
Most definitely.
Thank you, Kishore, and all the best for the rest of the day, and until we chat again. Bye.
Thank you.
Look forward to
Thank continuing. You very much, and again, you know, I appreciate it, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Thanks, fine.
That is Kishore Badal speaking to us about the developments in Lanesia, giving us an update on what has been transpiring. And if you have any issues that you'd like to raise in the future, then do send us your messages, and we'll put you in touch with him.
جفاني البدر في الظلم فبت الليل لم أنمي ورحت أجول بالذكرى وأذرف دمعة الألم
جفاني البدر في الظلم فبت الليل لم أنمي ورحت أجول بالذكرى وأذرف دمعة الألم
وبات الحزن يخنقني وكف الحزن فوق فمي كطفل عشت ليلتها أضاع الدرب في الحرم
وبات الحزن يخنقني وكف الحزن فوق فمي كطفل عشت ليلتها أضاع الدرب في الحرم
يسير تصب أدمعه على خديه كالحمم ويسأل كل من يلقى من الأعراب والعجم.
As you heard in the interview that we had earlier, that at this stage those that are standing up to oppose the visa increase, in which we all support, are not as yet saying that we should boycott going to the kingdom. They haven't called for that. But do you think that that would be an effective means? What do you think would be the consequences? We don't have absolute clarity on the matter as yet, but would you consider that, and would it be effective? What are your thoughts on boycotting the kingdom?
وقفت وقوف الشامخ العلمي أنا من أمة سطعت بنور العلم والقلم أنا من أمة صنعت حياة العز للأمم أنا من أمة حفظت حقوق الجار والرحم أنا منها وأبيها
Radio Islam, your alternative news source.
Outcry over the Umrah visa fees continue, and North Gauteng High Court ruled that both Cooperative Governance Minister Des van Rooyen and Jacob Zuma's application against the release of public protector Turi Monsera's state capture progress report be heard on the 1st of next month. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yawm al-Jumu'ah, the 12th of Muharram, 1438, corresponding to Friday, the 14th of October, 2016. I am Muhammad Bam with your 6 p.m. news on Radio Islam. As the outcry over the Umrah visa fees continue, an urgent meeting has been scheduled by social cohesion activist Yusuf Abramji. The meeting is to be held to discuss the proposed excessive visa costs in travelling to Mecca and Medina in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. The meeting is expected to take place on Sunday the 16th of October at 11 a.m. at Jisa in Crosby, Johannesburg. The lack of clarity on the issue has prompted the South African Hajj and Umrah Council, SAHUK, to write to the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, ZIRCO, requesting their intervention in the matter for repeat programs. Secretary General of Jamiatul Ulama South Africa, Maulana Ibrahim Bam, who is to co-chair the meeting, says they have received calls to address the issues of visa costs, as many people intend on embarking for Umrah, especially during the December period. Maulana Bam is concerned that Umrah and Hajj has been made such an elite event that it takes away the right of the poor to pilgrimage and the capacity to be able to visit the Holy Lands. For more on the story, go to www.radioislam.co.za. The North Gauteng High Court has ruled that both Cooperative Governance Minister Des van Rooyen and President Jacob Zuma's applications against the release of public protector Turi Maronsela's state capture progress report be heard on the 1st of next month and not on Tuesday. The EFF, DA, COPE, UDM and Maronsela's lawyers argued against van Rooyen's application today. Van Rooyen's advocate Stefan du Toit claims the opposing parties are not really interested in the matter.
It seems to us to be rather a publicity stunt on behalf of political parties. That direct and substantial interest has to be shown, and it's disputed at this stage on the papers which we have seen.
Judge Davi Furi suggested that the parties work on a draft preservation order, which will hold until both applications are heard.